Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to season two, episode 36. Our penultimate episode of the season. We will have one more next week, following Sunday, but we'll come to that, I'm sure, later on in the podcast tonight. Joined by Smarty, by regular Gilly as well, and me and Gilly have been on about 20 times this fucking week. So, and then the elusive member of OKB, who's decided to join us towards the end of the season, Mr. Simon Johnson. How are we doing?
Yeah, not too bad, guys. You okay?
Yeah, man.
Not so bad.
Really good. Really good. Loads to talk about tonight, as ever, and I'm sure we've all got plenty to say. But we'll play that intro, get things moving, and we'll come on to it. Cheers. Gilly's not ready, is he?
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
Not on it tonight, mate. I'm not happy.
You're hosting, you're supposed to give roles and responsibilities out.
Really, no. He's the techie, he's the one who controls life. He has us all on public. Thanks everybody. First of all, everyone for joining us, who's gonna be watching. And to you three, and Gilly, I'm fed up of seeing you, but yeah, thanks to you all for to join us on giving up your Tuesday evenings when it's middle of summer, probably nicest day of year. We could be doing all sorts tonight, couldn't we? But we're sat here and we're gonna discuss. Well, it could be positive, I think, but there could be a few negatives thrown about. But first things first, Gilly and I have already had our natter about Sunday's game. So I'll give you two guys the opportunity, really. I'll start with you, Smart. You were there. You were in that south stand. You were in amongst it. So, how did it feel leaving? And how did it feel? So, I know it was probably an absolute roller coaster of emotion. So, just run me through it. How did it go?
Definite semi-final v derby vibes towards maybe the latter of the second half, 100%. It felt like everything were falling to bits, and it was just like that feeling of pessimism and everything that's just gone wrong, you know, years before Rads and Bielsa came on board. And then little Gellart came out of nowhere and planted one straight on the on Stroik's head, and that's it. The whole atmosphere in the stadium changed, but before that, it was absolute carnage. I mean,
they did put one on Cooper's head before they put one on Stroik's head.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? I couldn't believe that. Do you know what? I turned around to Harry, one of the lads I go away, and I just went, it's either going to be an absolute mauling, we're going to dick these, or it's going to be one of them days where we just, and you know, it was like that, wasn't it? Keeper had an absolute belter of a game, didn't he? That save that he pulled out of nowhere when Click had that corner from shot from the corner, and And Rafinha's free kick, that were a great effort. That were directly behind that, and you could just see it bending towards top left corner, and he fucking TV saved it, didn't he? Nigel Martin.
TV saved.
But no, it was shite, really. It were better than what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. We did look a little bit more threatening going forward. Defensively, conceded early again. At least we didn't get a red card. That's a bonus. You've got to say, can't you? But yeah, I would say marginally better than what we'd seen over the last couple of weeks, but still not Premier League standard enough to keep us up, probably. Hopefully, you'll never know. But, you know, to press on with that sort of...
We will know.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, won't we? But I don't think that's the sort of stuff we need to be playing next season. We need to do a hell of a lot better. But it might be enough to keep us up this year.
Yeah, just on that, Simon, this is the first time you've been on since Bielsa went and Jesse's come in. What do you make of the playing style and the players' attitude and that? Do you think they're enjoying playing under Jesse Marsh, or do you think it's just a lot to take in to unlearn and sort of learn a new style and that? Why do we look so average?
I think we're an average team, to be fair. I don't think there's any escape in that. I think sometimes we're unrealistic with our expectations, and when I look at our starting 11, there's probably three players that would get into a top 10 team at other clubs. So I think when you dress everything back and you actually look at our squad, we're probably whereabouts we should be. But with that being said, I'm always full of optimism when I watch Leeds play. I think we've got players that can hurt teams, but, you know, I don't know. I look at things and I think to be able to adopt a totally different style of play in a short amount of time in the situation we're in, it's not easy to do. And I think they've done okay. And I think one thing that you can give the lads credit for is the fact that they've got that never die attitude. The amount of late goals we've scored, you know, time will tell on Sunday, but those late goals that we've proved to be massive. And for me, that tells me that they're playing for the manager.
Yeah. Just a point there. Selenium just said, team were taught a party trick by Bielsa, but now reverting back to the true level. Do you think that's, I mean, you said earlier on then, Simon, that's our level. That's we're performing at our level as a squad, as a team, and probably where realistically fairly where we should be in the table. So we obviously, as a fan base, our expectations are based on last season and finishing ninth and having a fucking fantastic season, an absolute miracle season, really, when you look at it, beating City 2-1 away, you know, with 10 men and everything else that went on last season. But do you think we were sort of shot back down to reality? And do you think then that it is potentially the board's fault that we're in this position?
Do you know what? Yes and no. I mean, I love Bielsa. Like, I love everything he stands for. But he was just too stubborn for his own good. And you know, I know this would have been a topic of conversation with a lot of people. Sometimes you're not... When you're in playing at elite level, and you're going up against the top guys in the world, they're not dummies. So when we first went in the Premier League, when we got back to the sort of promised land, nobody was ready for what he was bringing to the table. Nobody was ready for it. Nobody was expecting Leeds to just go, bang, we're going to attack you, we don't care. But then the second season, you get figured out, and you've then got to sort of, oh, okay, they've sussed us. How can we then go again and probably adopt slightly different tactics? And I don't think he'd done that. And I think that's been probably the downfall of the season, really, and just being probably a little bit too stubborn.
For me, I agree with what Simon's saying, but obviously there is an element of being found out, as you've said, like, you know, a lot of people have said, but it's about maintaining them levels and then maybe going a step further. You know, so we should have maybe invested in the squad. But for me, we didn't maintain those levels. From the get-go, in my opinion, we weren't at the races. We weren't playing the same sort of style of football, whether that be because we were, you know, affected by injuries or whatever. But we weren't, from the off, the same team we were the previous season. Now, there were never any reports of any sort of issues in training. Apparently, the stats were there. The running stats were higher. Everything were looking absolute golden. And then we were given an absolute spanking by Scum first game of season. And it just kind of just meandered into the world of...
It set the tone, didn't it? It was just
a bit of a pants start to the season. It wasn't great. It wasn't good football. We weren't seeing the nice triangles and progressive play that we used to see under Bielsa. It just wasn't the same. And like you say, it set the precedent then, and then it all just kind of went to rat shit as soon as, like you said, Si, we didn't progress. We started losing players. We lost important players. We lost the spine of the team. Yeah. No Bamford.
Just to add what you said, I think if you were to take, I mean, obviously he's played the game a lot higher level than any of us, but to say that he thinks the squad are playing for Jesse, he's got to be a positive. You know, they are still battling until the 90th minute, and the amount of late, I'd love to know the stats on late goals and equalisers and winners we've had this season, because without them, we'd be absolutely fucking toast.
Way off it.
The 91st, the 92nd, the 93rd, the 94th, the 95th,
yeah,
and the 96th.
About 7 on the Gilly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so zero, if you want to do a tweet from yeah, that's right. If it was UFC data or some sort of stats, some stats guy on Twitter, he put it out that we'd done like 6 or 7 90-plus minute equalisers or winers this season.
And that just complements the fitness and that the players have got. You know, we are probably still arguably the fittest team in the league. They still can run like fuck. But it's just I don't know. What we'll come on to sort of plans and moving on and everything and in a little bit. But based on that performance, then Simon, do you think we've got enough to stay in the league?
I've always, you can trace it back when I was playing up, saying easy three points at Arsenal and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I've always thought we'd do it. It's probably a little bit closer than I would have liked at this point. But I can't see Burnley picking up the points, and Everton are. Everton have got work to do. Everton have really got work to do. So, and given what I've seen in their last game with the sendings off, it's not going to be easy. And football's a funny old game. We've seen it. This season's been crazy, right from the Premier League down to the sort of basement league, and anything can happen. But I'm quietly confident. I don't know if that's just because this is the team I follow, but. I don't know. Yeah. I've just never thought we'd get relegated, and I still feel the same.
So, just on that comment there, then we should have been safe by now. But Marsh has been tying the players' hands behind the back. So, do you think that the balance has gone too far the other way? We needed to change it so that we weren't getting battered week in, week out. Has it gone too far the other way? In as much as we've tightened up, but then we've lost a lot of or too much of what we had going forward. Hmm.
I don't know. I would. This is something. It's hard to answer that, Gilly. To be fair, because I would love to see the sort of stats in terms of chances created or real sort of big moments in the opposition's final third. Because I look at the game against Brighton the other day, and I feel we should have won that game comfortably. Obviously, we
it was interesting you say that, because I said same, and Luke said nah, not comfortably, not at all. not having any of it.
I didn't feel comfortable at all at any point in that game.
Yeah, listen.
When feeling comfortable is a bit different.
Yeah, I think when we go one down, it's a total different proposition then, because you've got no choice but to push bodies forward, and so you're gonna give chances and concede chances. But I thought we was loads better than them. I don't know if that's because I've got my blinkers on or what, but I just thought it was a better team.
I thought we started really well, and it wasn't until we went behind at that point that I thought, we may struggle here now, because up to, really, let's be honest, since Marsh has come in, apart from a couple of flashes, we've never really looked that attacking, especially like we used to do. So for it to be absolutely on the wire then and be so important that we do go and search for a goal and stuff like that, it did, I was thinking we might be done here. We might have to just, try and manage this as best we can. I didn't expect to score at all. from that point. Yeah. I mean, we had, like I said, we had the shots, we had a couple of bits and bobs, but we just struggled. I mean,
Joffrey's
so
done enough to score, hasn't he? Cooper's not in the way of Joffrey scores. He's done enough to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Goal, yeah, absolutely.
I'll tell you one thing, though, that we did look far more promising with that one pivot formation than what we have done with the two pivots he's played previously. Now, I understand why he's probably played those two pivots, because he's been hoping that we can snatch a draw against one of the, you know, Arsenal, City or Chelsea. We were never going to win those games, whereas obviously the philosophy of Bielsa was go at him. If we get battered 7-0, it doesn't matter. I'd rather lose 7-0 than 1-0.
At least we've been entertaining. I mean?
Yeah. And I understand that. And I can understand why fans are still clinging to that. I completely can, because it was gorgeous. It was lovely to watch. It was exciting. It was, you know, it was everything that that football should be. But ultimately, it's a points business. And if we don't score, if we don't get enough points, we don't stay in the league. So. So, yeah, interesting thoughts. We're going to go on to and have a bit of a chat now briefly. I think Gilly's got some predictions for us from that game.
I have indeed. And do you know what? So, I want prepped. I've been putting them together while we've been on here. And there is a remarkable revelation.
Auto no better predictions.
Ah! That is a Gilly chucky, isn't it?
Bottom and... No, that were perfectly timed. Bottom and top has been secured.
It's finished.
Fuck off.
Yeah, bottom and top has been secured.
It's not finished. It's only 28.
The bottom player is 6 points adrift. How are you feeling, Smarty?
But what happens if somebody predicts a Brighton win and minus five, but Smarty gets it spot on?
So, I suppose it's not 100%. But they are 6 points adrift at the bottom and six points clear at the top.
It's poor, that Smarty.
A lot of the season at the bottom adrift, but no, it's Jason at the bottom with 10. Render, Sai, and Carl all on 16. Smarty is on 18. Me and Jay are on 23. Bren and Luke are on 24. Stats is on 26. And the fans are on 32. Well done, it's the well wisdom done, of crowds. Done. The fans are on 32. They got it spot well on.
Never. Hopefully the fans go for a Brighton win this week. And then I just saw
Brentford
fly up the fucking top. Back post, strike, header. That's what I want to see.
Can't go for a Brighton win, mate.
Yeah, unless you're going in a time machine.
Sorry, not Brighton, Brentford. I don't know.
Literally said it twice. What your life.
Right then, let's go on to the
Twitter poll results.
Come at me, Smarty.
Hello. Oh, well, I'm not in charge of the videos. I'm in charge of the comments. I'm keeping a low profile this week. So for tonight's main subject for the pod, we have inspirational quotes, great or cringy. Do we sack the board? ? Even if we stay up, is that the last time we see Phillips? And does Marsh stay or go in the summer? And with a unanimous vote with 40%, it's squad and board overhaul. So, do we sack the board? And do we overhaul the team? I think it's kind of going to run into each other. But firstly, do we sack the board, Luke? Should we get rid of them all? Bearing in mind that Victor Orta is not on the board, by the way.
No, I think...
You can include him as well, if you like.
I think we're probably going to be in for some wholesale changes in the summer anyway, regardless of what happens. We're going to see. I think if we stay up, I think the board will have learnt the lesson and invest quite a bit more money this season, because I don't think they'll be in a similar position next season should we stay up. Do I think this board will be in charge come the start of next season? I think that much very much depends as well on where we finish the season. I think if we're relegated, I think Rads has no option but to stay in charge. Whereas if we manage to stay up by the skin of his teeth, I think he'll exercise that option to flog the club if 49ers are interested. Yeah. Should we sack them? I've repeated it a number of times. Look, they've made a lot of errors this season, but without their investment and without their support, sort of the 3 years and getting Bielsa in, we wouldn't be back in the Premier League realistically. We would still be stuck with, you know, Cellino type people or fucking, you know, people like Chancery at Chef Wednesday, who's, you know, you know, your Derby guy, your Mel Morris, you know, there's some real crux in that Championship and the EFL. And whilst the ownership is sort of on two completely different scales in the Premier League, you've got sort of your big spenders and then you've got everybody else pretty much. And then you've got a couple, two or three others. That's my dog just attacking the back door. So, yeah, sorry about that.
Your back door.
Do we sack them? I don't think, if we get relegated, I don't think we'll have an alternative. If we stay up, I think he'll sell up anyway. So I think either way we'll be without the same board next season in some shape or form.
Yeah. I mean the board are Rads, Kinnear. Parag, Martha, I think quite a few of us know about Pete Lowry, I think, off the top of my head. There's a couple that I had to find out who they were. Massimo.
Off the top of your head while you're looking down at the
page. No, it's the two. I've got the two down here. Massimo Marinelli and Sandro Mencucci. I don't know. I don't even know what them two are. I don't even know who they are. But as far as, say we do stay up or go down this season, with regards to recruitment then, do we need to shake up our director of football by any chance? And we need to be very careful, obviously, what we say because of that, you know, this guy on the top of the corner here. We do name our podcast after the guy. Simon, do we need to have a look at changing that sort of position in the club?
I'm going to be totally honest. I've never focused too much with those people at that level at a football club. It's maybe something that I should have done over the years, but I mean, listen, I think one thing I would say is, you know, sometimes football fans can be a little bit fickle without sounding too sort of, or talking out of term too much. You've got to remember what these guys have done to get us where we are. And I think sometimes it's all too easy to forget that. You know, I think it's a difficult question to answer right here and now. I'd rather be asked that question after Sunday's results.
Yeah. No, I get you. I understand. And to be honest, I think, well, maybe not 50-50. I think the majority of people will probably end up quite happily see the back of Orta, let's be honest, because of the appointments, managers that he's made, you know, and I mean, he's employed so many bogus. I mean, they struck lucky with Bielsa, didn't they? But, you know, time will tell with Marsh, but with Heckingbottom and fucking hell, you know, the rest of the roster we've seen through the doors. But for me, I mean, I understand that, you know, you'll get a couple of bad eggs through the door, but there haven't been that many inspirational or like game changers that he's signed. I mean, he signed Rafinha, he's also signed Firpo, whatever your opinions are on them. And there's so many other different sort of players that haven't had any sort of effect. For me, and I'm going to come to you next, Gilly. For me, it's been too much miss and not hit. What are your opinions on that?
Completely the opposite.
I'll
give you your dues on that. I think we're in a position where, if you look at his early time with the club, it was far more miss than hit. But at that point in time, he was tasked with going out and finding cheap players and bringing bulk, just bringing numbers. And if some of them work out, great. And then when Bielsa joined, he didn't want any of that at all. He wanted the right players, the right mentality. He wanted the right humans in the squad. So it was more a mentality and the capability and knowing that it's going to be the right fitness level and knowing that it was going to be an individual that would come in and maintain value, I think was something else that Bielsa craved in his players. So the ask against Orta completely changed to the opposite end of the spectrum as to what was being asked of him. And if you look at the players that he's brought in, all right, we can look at Rodrigo and we can say, well, he's not hit the heights that you expect of him. We've seen it in patches, the tail end of last season, the few games when Jesse first came in. You could see that there was a capability level there that he's not shown. He's had peaks and troughs, and there's been more troughs than there's been peaks. So, you know, that bit's disappointing. I think the Dan James signing was too expensive. Actually, he's turned around in terms of, I mean, all right, he got himself sent off. I thought he was unlucky to be sent off. But I love the fact that he's not willing to be bullied. He's not going to stay quiet. He's going to put himself into a challenge. As Leeds fans, we crave that. That's what we want from our players. We want the endeavour. We want the work rate. And do you know what? The capability is important, but that's kind of secondary to that work rate as Leeds fans, I would say. So I think if you look at the ask that Orta's had, I think we're in a position where it's changed so much. And if you look at the value of the deal that I mentioned around Dan James, that's one element. But look at the value that we got against Rafinha. Now, if we stay up, he's going to be worth 7 or 8 times what we paid for him. So I think we're in a position where he's done a decent job. Yes, all right, some misses, some hits. And we've been in a position where Wassim Boy and De Bock and so on linked with the club for such a long time. We're put on the wrong contracts and they were the wrong individuals right from the outset. But I think if you look over his record and the players that he has brought in, so many of them have maintained or increased value that it's very difficult to give him such a rough ride compared to what some, and I'm not saying you are, but a lot of fans on Twitter and so on.
No, he didn't know his job.
So I think it's really difficult. Equally, the markets during the period that he was trying to sign players and what COVID did to that was so difficult. And if you think two and a half years were impacted by that and by how you could approach players, whether you could even go and have meetings with their representatives. When you couldn't travel, you couldn't go abroad and see players play and so on. It all had to be video. I think it's done against a backdrop of a difficult scenario and a difficult manager to work with. You know, for all his brilliance, we know that he was a difficult individual to work with because he was so particular and he was so meticulous that I think that he's done a decent job with all of that context. I think just to touch on a couple of things that you mentioned before around the board of directors, I think so. Marinelli is a leader in the Acer company, the Acer Holdings company. So I think if Rads goes, he goes, and if Rads stays, he stays. Lowey, I think, has been a Leeds fan all his life. That's the Westfield company.
I don't hear great stuff about him.
But I think
he's an investment for 9, isn't he?
Massimo, but not that Massimo. Not time to go, Massimo. So I think those ones are kind of, I would say, fringe. You know, they're not controlling shareholders now. They're not going to be controlling shareholders in the future. It's going to be, I mean, to my mind, it's going to be Rads or it's going to be 49ers. Now, the question that you ask, should we sack the board? I don't think we've got that opportunity. It's on Rads. If Rads goes, he goes to 49ers. If he stays there. That's not our choice. We're not in a position to make that choice. So I think there has been mistakes made. And back to Luke's point, there's been mistakes made. We could see that we were crying out for a 10. We were crying out for a dynamic 8. And do you know what? If we sign Coutinho at the point at which Aston Villa did, we're in their position and they're probably in ours.
Facts.
Yeah, but they've still got striker. They've still got Ollie Watkins and stuff on this side. You're right, but yeah,
I got off my soapbox now.
yeah, exactly. No. Good points, mate. Good points. But at the end of the day, someone's got to come down. The axe has got to fall on someone. We're in a position where we are for a reason. Whether it's Bielsa being stubborn or whether it's the board not backing him, you know, who's at the end of the day, Luke, out of the board. Who's got a cop for it? I mean, they've got to come out at the end of the season and say, look, this has happened because of this. Now, whether they throw Bielsa under the bus or not, that's probably going to be the most likely outcome. But at the end of the day, someone's got to take the rap for our failings this season from the board.
I completely agree, but I think the problem started when the 49ers started getting involved and dual ownership makes things more difficult, end of. There's argument. Obviously, the 49ers want the best investment. Who knows? They might have blocked transfers in the summer to get a cut price fee. They might, you know, there's all sorts. These people are businessmen. They're not Leeds fans. They're businessmen. They don't give a flying fuck about Leeds United. They care about the money. That is it. You know, they don't actually care. So, I mean, ultimately, it's got to fall down on Rads for making those business decisions. It's his business at the moment. Leeds United is his business. He decided to get investment from... Is somebody running a creche? I can hear loads of kids tell it.
It might be. earphones and he can't hear what's going on behind him.
Oh, me?
Yeah. You got loads of kids in the background.
Oh.
Get it, Dan! Get them told. Just that dad point.
Get off.
Sorted. You don't know because you'll have soundproof.
Dad's on the internet.
Have you got sound cancelling headphones?
Yeah, I can only hear what's going on here. Sorry, guys.
Right. Me? I didn't know if they were watching, some kids' programs or something. But anyway.
I thought, to be fair, I just thought you were battling through it. I just want, on the poll, just one more thing. What came in second place? What does Marsh go or does he stay next season? Just quickly. What do you think?
It stays regardless for me.
Yeah. Gilly?
They can't afford to sack him. They're giving him a 3.5-year deal. They're not going to sack him in close season. No. And to be fair, I don't think they've given him an opportunity to succeed, have they?
No, they haven't really, have they? Let's be honest. Simon?
Yeah, I quite like him. I love his interviews. He's quite a passionate dude, which is something that I can really get on with. I would definitely keep him, yeah.
I agree. I think I have said a little bit about him, you know, over the last couple of pods or whatever, and, you know, I've been quite vocal about it. But I've always said that he deserves to be given the opportunity properly, whether it be in Championship or whether it be in Premier League next season. But time will tell. I still might edge my bets and say he'll be sat by Christmas, but we'll see, won't we?
He won't be playing the same brand of football if next season, you know, because he'll be, do you know what I mean?
If he does, then we are absolutely, you know, destination fucked.
He's almost coming as his contingency plan, hasn't he? At the rate we were losing, we were going down heavily, weren't we? And he was brought in as a contingency plan to change things up and try and keep us in the Premier League by nook or cranny. He's played two pivots. He's done everything the fans want. He's played Gelhardt. He's played. You know, he's played people in position who we want to play, and yet still because the football is not that exciting and it's shit. It is shit to watch in comparison to a Bielsa game.
But we have said,
don't tell Smarty that he fucking loves it.
What?
And the brand of football that we're playing at the minute.
Yeah, mate, I fucking love that shit. That's not my repeat. I'm gonna get a screen like you. I'm gonna have a screen here with that shit. He's playing all the fucking time. Well, I've lost my train of thought there. You've completely bamboozled me with your bullshit. So
I tell you what, lads, there's a lot of blue on show tonight, isn't there?
I'm loving these retro blue shirts. Look at this.
You didn't get the memo, Simon? No.
I'm a bit jealous. I might nip off and go and grab.
I do like the Lazio one, but I mean this is one of my favourite shirts out of the ones that I've got, but I do.
I just love the blue and yellow, or blue in general. It just hits right, doesn't it?
And do you know what? I said it at weekend. It really, really, really fucks me off that Chelsea have got a more Leeds kit than Leeds have got. It really pisses me off that blue and yellow one. Yeah, that's what kicked it out of the conversation they have as well.
No, don't know. Yeah, that's Paul. That's Paul done.
Right then, we'll just play a very, very quick message from our new sponsors, which is a little bit of a venture of my own. So yeah, Gilly, I'll let you play your sexy little voice.
There we go.
CBD are a family company with a local shop feel and exist to continue to promote the obvious and immediate benefits of CBD products while keeping the cost to you, the consumer, as low as possible. You'll find multiple flavors available on our site, answers to frequent asked questions and suggestions on what is right for you, as well as a web form for you to get in touch. There's free delivery on orders over £50, and don't forget to use the Auto Know Better discount code of OKB10 for 10% discount of all products. Lastly, a portion of all profits will be donated to mental health charities.
I tell you what, mate.
That's my new business venture.
Well done. It's like silk, isn't it? It's so good. You can pay him £5 and they'll read you a Martina Cole novel as well. Or anything of your choice.
Martina fucking Cole.
Where did that come from?
I know my mum used to read him when I was fucking.
I think that's a dude Martin with a pseudonym.
Who knows?
A what?
I think it's a pen name. I think that's a dude, Martina Cole.
It could be. Cock in a frock.
What I mean, it could be anywhere these days, couldn't it? It could be all.
What do we do? What do we what usually talk we on about now?
Not host.
I don't remember, mate.
What are we on?
after Paul, we normally go into the game coming up.
Yeah, I thought that, but I just felt we got there a bit quick. We've only been talking for 35 minutes.
Before we got onto our next game, then.
Go on, then.
Just between, so... I mean, I'm stealing it from the comments. So I'll just find the comment just as I say it is. Given everything that's riding on it, which is going to be more nerve-wracking, Thursday when we're not playing or the final game of the season when we are? Bearing in mind, we can't be relegated on Thursday.
No.
But we can be back Sunday, in the bottom three.
I think both, mate.
But on Sunday, we'll be watching our game. And on Thursday, there's nothing we can do about it. We're not at the game. We've got no fans at the game. We've got, you know, we've got nothing going on in terms of Leeds. Leeds aren't doing anything. So,
yeah, but we can cheer on. We can cheer on with a playing Villa. Not that we ever would ever do
Burnley,
that.
But on Thursday, Villa
on Thursday, imagine Simon cheering on Villa. It'd be shit. Come on, man.
Not just Burnley. Everton are doing their level best to still be involved in this relegation battle.
Yeah.
Who do they play? Spurs.
No,
Palace.
Crystal Palace
midweek.
They're at home to Palace.
That's not an easy game.
No, it's not.
Home to Palace and then away to Arsenal's.
Everton. No,
if we get a result next week and Everton don't pick up any points. Tell you what, they could find themselves in a heap of shit.
If we get a result next week, right, got you.
If we the weekend and they don't get any points, I think you know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, for the neutral, it's quite an exciting end of the season, in it. You know, it is quite exciting, but I'd rather not be a part of it and finish fucking 16th.
Do you know Everton? Looking at it, Everton really need to pick something up on Thursday. You know,
yeah,
they really do.
Even a draw won't be that good though, because two draws for them would put them, if we won, on the same points, but they'd be up on goal difference. If Burnley got points, I'm talking about between us and Everton, they think they're one ahead of us out there with one game in hand.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
So they drew, but if they got a point from both their games, they're safe. And they need 2 points to stay up effectively based on our goal difference.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So we'll just fly through before we do go into the next fixture. Fucking hell, I'm losing it. We will go through and just fly through a few of the comments, because I've seen a couple of quite interesting ones as I've been talking, I suppose. The problem, as I see, is the manager is totally out of his depth in the Premiership. See, I'm not sure I completely agree with this, and I'll come to you three in a moment. But the guy's managed in the Premier League, in the Champions League, and you know he's done things that at Leipzig that managers haven't done for a long time. So I don't know what did you know much about him before? Did any of you know much about him before he came? Before he came to Elland Road,
I didn't have a clue who Bielsa was. I didn't have a clue what frigging Heckingbottom was.
There's a theme here, isn't there?
Yeah, okay, I just don't have a clue, mate.
The Hawk. Did you know who the Hawk was?
Yeah. Nope, didn't have a clue who he was.
Hawk with his bezzy, mate. I'm not having... Oh, Steve Evans with his best mate.
Steve Evans. I didn't know who Steve Evans was. I knew who he was. Especially the second piss out of him in his sombrero when Rotherham came here for last game of the season. Fucking hell. Anyway.
But you didn't know the ex-Barnsley gaffer. So you knew the ex-Rotherham gaffer, but not the ex-Barnsley gaffer.
Yeah. Well, that's only because he came out into fucking Elland Road last game of the season with a whatever it's called on and it's
a caftan, I think it would have been, wasn't it? Caftan, sombrero, and
shaking his ass at South Stand. Like, you don't forget that. That'll haunt my dreams forever, that shit.
I knew of Jesse March. I didn't know much about him. I knew of him. You know, he's like you say, he's managing Champions League. So I knew of him. I didn't know much about him. You know, I didn't know his life history. I didn't know that much about his playing days. So you know, I think it's one of those, isn't it? You start looking into it. Yeah, but I didn't even know that until after he joined. Yeah. It's a nice video to watch, though. But I think it's
instead
one of those.
Instead you of sheep, doing instead research, of counting sheep to go to sleep, Gilly, instead of counting sheep to go to sleep, I just count Jesse Marsh's booting Beckham's. Just keep jumping over fences. Like little stills that I've created on paint. anyway, this one was really interesting. Guys, the 49ers are taking over. Jesse spent 4 hours after the match in Leeds Marriott. One of the 49ers has been staying there for the past month. Alison, I'd love to believe this, and I love a good rumour, and I love believing stuff. So if you can tag the pod in any sort of evidence, I suppose, or anything that sort of, you know, solidifies that, then we'd be more than happy to have a bit more of a read into that, because it's the first I've heard of it. Has anybody else seen that?
Nope.
No.
Oh yeah, we'll look forward to that then, Alison. We got Smarty on Twitter tonight, so he's looking after the social media, I think.
Although I did call Chris Tarrant this afternoon.
give all to one window to see if he can get Marsh's signings in. That's Mark's suggestions. I think if we
give all to one window, not we give Marsh a window.
No, I think he means them both together. I think as a unit, and just because I agree with you in the whole, Matt. I believe that when he's done his job, when he's been asked to find somebody, he's done his job. You look at Raf, an absolute bargain. You look at the job he had to do with quantity over quality when he first came in to get, you know, try and earn the club a bit of money in selling on young players. And then you look at the 23s that he signed, and you absolutely can't knock one of them. There's not one of those that we can't. You know, that we look at, and you look at Drama's been out on loan and got player of the year at Cardiff. You've got Somerville, who looks really exciting. Lewis Bate, who's come in and done a job in the first team in a couple of games, and plenty of others as well that I've probably not even spoken about. Get Joffe and Greenwood. So you cannot knock the 23s recruitment. First team recruitment, they're up for debate, aren't they? I mean, you look at Rodrigo, Dan James, Firpo and a few others, and you can see why people are questioning him and where he's coming from. What do you make of those signings, Simon? Do you think they should have been far more prominent this season for us on paper?
I'm not so sure. I think that the guys that you mentioned are limited with what they can offer. No.
What about value for money, though? Do you think we've got good value for? We haven't got good value for money, surely, for those players.
It's the market today. It's today's market, isn't it? You don't get a lot for your dough, unfortunately. But I, when I look at the signings, I think
you do on CBD.co.uk.
I've just had a look at it. But I don't think you get great value for your dough these days. And when I look at the likes of Dan James and you, Rodri, what better could we have got, really? Don't think there's much floating about.
They were saying all over Christmas and the transfer window, weren't they? They said that they've got nothing. There's nothing out there relatively, well, I won't say cheap enough, but within our, price range that is better than with the current crop of reserves that we have in the squad.
An additional element. You mentioned Dan James there, and I mentioned the value associated with that deal. But let's not forget, they did actually get him to the cusp of signing. He sat in a Leeds shirt at Elland Road, ready to sign for just under 10 million, I think he was at the time.
Yeah.
And it was Swansea that pulled the deal. So, you know, they found the player. They found the player that Bielsa wanted and got. And let's be honest, that is a good deal at that point. And then I think he went to the for, 15, 16 million, was it? So I think in terms of the job that they've done, I mean, once he's gone to the scum and he's played in the Champions League, you're going to pay a premium for a player. Bielsa still wanted him. They paid a premium for a player. But they were in for him. Yeah. And they had him at Island Road in Leeds kit. Arthur had done everything that he could to get that over the line. Now, there's accusations that Rad has cheated out at the end, and that's why he didn't quite get over the line and that sort of thing. I don't think that came across in the Amazon documentary. It was literally Hugh Jenkins, wasn't it? at Swansea that just stopped answering the phone. So I think we're in that position where they've done the work. They've done all the legwork to get the player in that the club wanted.
It's not your phone, say, it's Gilly's internet.
It's Gilly's internet.
Oh, is it? I'm struggling again.
Come on.
It happens at some point every week. So just that point is they've done the work to get the player in at good value and then had to pay over the odds.
Yeah.
And I think all of those players, whilst they haven't showed great value for money when you consider it's, you know, 30 million quid or whatever, we have seen in endorsers some real good performances from all of them. You know, from all of them, they've all done their bits. Do you know what I mean? They've not been fantastic. They've not put in 8 out of 10s every week or higher. Do you know what I mean? But they have put some important performances in and scored some crucial goals and contributed to the squad. So I think we probably are overcritical and overexpected. As a Leeds fan, I think it comes quite naturally because we think we're the biggest club in the world and the best fans, and we just almost think that every player should cost us 10 million and be a Lionel Messi type thing. You know what I mean? But in reality, I think you're probably right, Simon. I think this market, this day and age, for a Spanish number nine who's starting at Valencia, 20 odd million, 27 million, whatever he cost, isn't expensive. No. The fact he hasn't come over and adapted to the Premier League that overly well, but still put in some good performances, I think you have to take the rough with the smooth.
100%. There's been a lot bigger and better players come over that have cost a lot less than him that have struggled. So, you know, it's always a bit of a gamble, you know.
He's like a Spanish Alex Mowat.
And just one thing on that as well is if you go back to what Wilkinson said about signing players, and bear in mind what a legend he is to us, is he said if you've got a manager that's or I guess director of football that goes along with this, if you've got somebody that's signing players and 1 in 2 is any form of success, you're exceeding expectations.
There you go.
Fair point.
You know, for every Wazin boy, you've got a Samu Saiz. You know, for every Madja Gomez, you've got a Mateus Klik. Yeah, we've done pretty well.
He's throwing some good names out there. Madja Gomez.
What about Paweł Szczybiński?
Do you know what? I genuinely thought that when Klik came back, he thought he were back on the money train and he were coming back and going to get a chance.
Yeah. J-Roy Grott.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Anyway, moving on to some more comments, lads, and then we'll go on to the game at the weekend. Do you remember the film Face Off? We have reappointed Heckingbottom with the face of Jesse Marsh. Matt James deserved a straight red. We haven't seen that yet. Here, Matt.
No, I'm not having any of that. I'm not having any of that at all.
Guys, you say
well, like, well, like Paul Heckingbottom pulls off Jesse Marsh's face and Brentford away. It was me all along.
I would have got away with it too if it weren't for those.
Yeah, like a villain in Scooby-Doo. Said that last week, didn't we?
We'll not be able to cope with watching the game on Thursday. I think I'm going to avoid watching any football on Thursday night. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I can cope. I think I'm going to be with you, Bandy. Followed Leeds for over 50 years and I've earned the right to call
Shy Fool. Shy
Fool. And fish eyed fool. Bandit agree. Alison, that doesn't sound like you to call people names. So I'm assuming you're agreeing with this post rather than this post. have a pick friend staying there. Ah, this is on about in the hotel.
You're just reading their conversation that they're having amongst themselves. Yeah.
Oh, DM'd a picture. Have you checked? Has everyone checked their DMs? Because Alison's DM'd a picture. We won't share it because it's obviously she wants to keep it quite.
Yeah, you want to keep it quiet, that she said it is.
There we go. That's the bar in the hotel, right? So we have seen it. I've seen the picture. I don't know if anyone else has seen it.
Oh yeah.
Don't know who the guys is with her, but one's in a Leeds shirt and one's got his back to us. So look, I'm sure time will tell. There's going to be rumours. There's going to be speculation floating around the club, obviously, now. There's obviously a lot of frustration, a lot of anger, a lot of needle, shall we say, floating around at the minute. So it takes us on, I think, to Brentford. We've spoken about the teams Thursday, regardless of what happens on Thursday. Go on, sorry.
Just before we do get on to Brentford, our game of the season, I want to ask Simon what it's like to be preparing, because obviously you've been in exactly this situation. The last time we were
relegated. What we're asking him that at the end, then, Smarty.
All right, sorry. well, this is the reason why I wanted him to come on anyway. Obviously, you've had it firsthand, being a Leeds United player in that sort of situation. How do you prepare for that sort of fight at the last game of the season, knowing that your potentially your Premier League career is on the line?
I'll probably trace back to sort of the first year, because if you can recall, the year before we got relegated was pretty close as well.
Yeah.
So that year, everything seemed a little bit more relaxed. I don't know if everybody just had full sort of belief in the squad, or I'm not sure what it was, but the actual year where we got relegated, it's sort of difficult for me to sort of speak on it, because I probably would, depending on who listened, I'll probably get hammered for it by sort of former players. As a young player that would sort of do anything to get results, it was a hard watch at times. A real tough watch, because you had probably half the squad that sort of shared the same values as myself and had the same mentality, and half the squad weren't really arsed, excuse me, French. So for the ones that you could tell genuinely cared, it was tough, and you'd need all the backing and support you can get. Otherwise, it's an even tougher task than it already is. But I recall when I played in that the Portsmouth game, everybody was just so tense, and there was no real belief that was going to go out there and get a result. So,
was that at home?
Yeah.
I was there that game.
Yeah,
I remember that game.
Yeah,
I remember that game.
I think we had Dom Matteo and Radaby in midfield, centre mid. There was no players fit, and it was just it's very difficult mentally. It's a real battle. It's a real battle to keep positive, and you sometimes, like you say, you're not just relying on yourselves. You're relying on the other games and so forth. And it's just it's a difficult moment, and that's what I tweeted, like, that more than ever, the guys will need the fans and the supporters on Sunday. Yeah. One last roar,
I think there's been some comments that I've seen that I've been surprised at. more on Facebook than Twitter, to be fair, which is never a good place to be. But a lot of criticism of fans for backing the players based on the fact that the performances have been poor. And you're thinking, what sort of shit are you talking about? Aren't we there to support our players, come what may? Isn't that what it's all
match
about?
Match together, side before self. And
exactly. Aren't we there
forever
to
ever will follow
team?
Our team, you know?
So there's been a lot of shit, and I think somebody's mentioned about the immaturity of some of our fans. And to be fair, I'm agreeing with something that Moore said, and I'm reflecting on the last podcast that we had, where Moore just ripped apart everything to do with the club. But at the same time, it is that, don't have a go at people for supporting the club that they've supported all their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and it goes back to the conversations we've had earlier on in the season when things weren't going so great around social media and it being a breeding ground for negativity and it gives people an opinion that wouldn't have been had before unless you'd been to watch the game live. Everybody can watch a game now on their dodgy boxes and streaming and then they can jump straight on Twitter and they can voice their concerns immediately while they're angry, while they're upset. And it just never happened like that before. So people used to go to the pub and used to argue or talk about it, have a few pints and fuck off home and it'd be forgotten about. But now it's just an echo chamber for negativity all week, and it just builds and it just snowballs. And it doesn't help anybody, Moore, I'm very pleased to agree with you tonight, because I don't know if you were drunk the other day, but some of the stuff you were saying was probably wrong. shall we say.
Are you telling that he can't have an opinion?
It genuinely felt like there were a Scum fan that were trolling us in the comments.
It did. You watch it back, yeah. So, yeah, last couple of comments, and we'll go on.
If you listen carefully, you can hear the blur of a fucking keyboard going mad.
Now, what about this one then? Pontus Janssen, how's he going to get... Come on.
I mean, let's be honest. Every big game we ever had that he played in, he fucking bottled it. And it's nailed on that he's not going to bottle this one, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely not. Yeah. I won't be surprised if he scores a header or something.
I think I've just been threatened.
Oh, careful.
Told you I could hear a keyboard going.
And then Jay's managed to get his phone off the worktop. He's just got a peg up from one of his mates next door. Imagine if we'd followed that logic in half the games this season, where we've had to come from behind, for fuck's sake. Yeah, fair point. Right then, let's get on to the last part of the pod this week.
I've got some very bad news, I'm afraid. Liverpool have gone in front.
Yeah. I don't give a fuck about top end at table, mate. Justin down the bottom, in it, let's be honest.
But just on that Pontus Janssen then, Brentford away, lads. We go into that, I believe, needing a minimum of a point. I think Burnley will get a point at either. Arsenal. Who do they play first? Villa and Newcastle. I think they'll get a point from one of those two games, and that will put them equal on points with us and sending us down on points difference. I believe they'll get a point. I think we need to go to Brentford and get the minimum of a point. What about you guys? Do you think we have to play to win?
Bear in mind,
not get beat.
So Newcastle beat Arsenal last night, and quite comfortably, to be fair.
They did.
So Newcastle in a bit of form. Our problem is Brentford are in a lot of form. there's a lot of people saying that Burnley won't get anything. So they got beat off Villa at home 3-0.
3-0.
And now they've got to go to Villa's last game of season at home, away at Villa Park, Villa's last home game of the season, and try and get something, having been beat 3-0 at home. It's a tough ask. Then go away to Newcastle.
To Newcastle.
It's at home to Newcastle. I don't know. I can see them getting potentially a point if Newcastle are on holiday by the time that cut rolls around. I don't see them getting anything at Villa, based on the fact that they've just been beat 3-0 off them at home, going away to Villa Park. I don't see them getting anything. But...
Are you with the belief that Burnley don't pick up another point?
No, that's what I was saying. I think if Newcastle are on beach by the time they play them, they might get a point there. I can't see them scoring enough goals to be clear enough. So I think they get one more point, meaning that we need at least a point.
Yeah, I think that's about right as well. About you too.
I don't think Burnley pick up any more. I think it's done and dusted, lads.
Fucking hell, I hope you're right.
I can't see them getting anything at Villa on Thursday. And after watching Newcastle versus Arsenal yesterday, I think I said it to you, Luke, a couple of weeks ago. When you're in that sort of mid-table zone and you, excuse my French, got fuck all to play for, it's so relaxed and you just play with such a freedom, like the game becomes easy. And I think that's what you saw when they played Arsenal.
Tell you what, Si, you played for Leeds. You can fucking swear if you want. It's fine.
So I can't see, and looking at it, I'm not sure about the Everton Palace game, but... If Everton don't pick anything up on Thursday, well, I think I think Everton and Burnley finish below us. I think we beat Brentford. I think both of them finish below us.
I've got a point to make on that Mar just made there is we'll win. I don't think Brentford will be as up for it as us and they struggle to beat 10-man Everton. I think that is bang wrong. I think that if you ask Thomas Frank which game he wants to win all season, he says Leeds. Based on what happened when we got promoted.
He would love to send us down. He'd love to send us down.
Absolutely. Based on what happened when we got promoted and the Mind the Gap Thomas Frank and all of that shit that we loved, he will really enjoy putting us down.
Yeah.
He really will. So I think they'll be bang up for that game. I really do.
I, disregarding Everton, I think I agree with Simon to a degree. I think it could be done and dusted. I don't see Burnley getting another point. If they were to get something, I think they probably might get a point against Newcastle. I just don't know something about the whole Chris Wood thing that's like a, I don't know. But in my opinion, yeah, you're right. I think Thomas Frank would love to see us down. I think they'll be absolutely bang up for it. And that's why we need to be absolutely bang up for it. And we need to go with an attitude of trying to win. We can't go with an attitude of let's play for a draw and this, that, and the other. We need to we need to get stuck into them fuckers.
Does that depend on Thursday's results?
You are.
That'll depend completely.
I don't think Burnley get a result against Villa, if I'm totally honest. I think if they were going to get anything, they get it from Newcastle. But we were at our most dangerous when we were pretty much guaranteed safety last season. Like Simon said, you know, and we were playing free-flowing football. They've got a couple of players back. You know, Newcastle, I don't think there is such a thing as on the beach, to be honest. I don't agree with that. You go out, you do your job. You enjoy your football when you've got nothing to be afraid of. So
yeah, somebody just mentioned there. The Newcastle players will be playing for a shirt next season because they're going to bring in. They're going to be bringing in a lot of talent. I should imagine. Imagine them signing Raf and having Raf and Sam Maximan on the wings.
I really don't want to.
Imagine being a fullback and playing against that.
To your point, where you're saying that you don't see Burnley getting out. He's lost the last two, but before that, well, I think you said not for the rest of the season, didn't you? Or was that just Thursday?
I don't see him getting anything against Villa. I'm not too sure about Newcastle. I don't know.
Because if you look at their form, they've won two, drawn one, lost two out of the last five. None of us saw him going three unbeaten, winning two of them.
There's a lot of pressure now. The pressure's on them, isn't it? You know, there is a lot of pressure there. They've got to get a result, and they have to get a result out of the next two fixtures. They have to, otherwise they're gone.
Bandy said it, though. They've been there before, and a lot of their players have been there before.
Yeah, but that were under Dyche, though.
Do they still have it?
They've
not got me, and they've got a couple of their strong players missing.
Tarkowski's still out, isn't he?
Everton, you know, really, they are in a free roll here. They've got to go and get a result, ideally, out of one of these.
Palace is a tough game, man. Palace can, you can know they beat anybody on their day. It's a tough fixture.
It's a shame it's not at Selhurst, though, isn't it? It's a shame it's not at home. But like I say.
But if they go to Arsenal, the last game of the season, having to get something.
And Arsenal are going to be hungry because they're hoping that Tottenham, you know,
top four, throw
a wobble.
It's going to be exciting. That is it. That, no matter what, it's going to be exciting.
So you asked about the results and who they'd got them against, Luke. Watford away, beat Everyone Wolves else. At home, beat Southampton at home, but drew with West Ham away.
I still don't think they've got enough. I think they will scrape a shitty lucky point in one of the two games, and it'll be a shitty one.
Everton or Burnley, sorry.
I think Everton will probably be safe, and I think it's between. Yeah, I think they will. I hope not, because I'd love them to go down more than anybody. Them or Burnley, obviously not us, but Everton just because of Lampard, you know what I mean?
Everton, for me, because they've never been relegated, and it'd be a big-ass fucking wake-up
slap. And they'd be fucked if they went down.
They'd go down again.
It would be fucked.
Yeah. They would go straight down the line.
Half of the squad had just disappeared overnight, and they'd be absolutely fucked, and Frank Lampard would have to leave because he wouldn't be able to do it. It'd be fucked, wouldn't
it? It'd be working for CB.
I wonder if Mason Mount will come to Everton in Championship.
UK.
Fucking hell! Come stat me shelves for me, Frank.
So, how do we set up then? I mean, it's obviously gonna have a lot to do with with Thursday and results on Thursday, because if Burnley pull a magic out there, I'd get 3 points on Thursday against Villa, which nobody would see. We have to then, no matter what, win that last game for any chance of staying up. But I believe we go into Sunday in the same positions we're all in now. I think Palace will probably beat Everton, or they might get a point at Everton. And then I don't think Burnley get anything from Villa, so we probably go in a relatively similar position. Do we line up then, not to be beaten, with the two pivots, or do you think he fancies the one pivot with Calvin in there now, and we go for it?
The latter, because the two pivots, we play absolutely shite football.
Too condensed, aren't we? In a thin formation, they might as well just fucking play one of them fucking football table things where you spin it.
I mean, they struggle to pass to each other at best of times at minute, but
no spinnies.
When you can literally put a blanket over middle at pitch and have them all under there, you know.
Yeah.
No, we need to play like we did against Brighton on weekend.
Yeah.
Simon, how would you line up? How would you line up in terms of your squad and your players if you were to pick the team on Sunday?
I would just go for it within reason. Depending on Thursday's results, but listen, you can't go into football matches in fear. I think if you do that, you're fighting a losing battle from the start. So I think just go into it fearless. I think we can, with the players we've got, we can still hurt Brentford. And I think it's a game we'll win. I'm confident. I'm really confident. Really confident. I don't know. I hope it's not just players confident.
Yeah. What's your starting lineup then, Gilly? How would you line up? I'm sure we'll all probably agree on this anyway.
I'd go back to the 4-1-4-1. I wouldn't play the penis formation. And back to your point, I think we played the penis formation against the big teams to set up not to get beat and try and eke out a draw. We've got to go and we've got to win this game. And I think we're looking at Calvin's getting back to fitness. You know, we know that he was coming back from injuries, getting back to fitness. He's well capable of handling that role on his own. And you're right, when we're playing condensed midfield, we don't give him the space to hurt opposition and pick out those passes, which we did see him start to do late on in the game against Brighton. So I think that for me, what I would line up, I would probably start Shaq over Cock. I thought he added a bit of a different dimension. I know that you thought that Cock played really well. He was caught out of position a couple of times, but for me, it's his pace more than anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
Shaq's pace can get him out of trouble. I'd probably go Firpo at the other side, I'm afraid. And I'll go Cooper Llorente in the middle. We definitely start Melier if he's fit. We start Calvin if he's fit. I would go Click and Rodrigo, and I would go Jackie and Rafinha on the wings. And if Bamford's not fit, which we don't expect him to be because he didn't start at the weekend, he wasn't even on the bench at the weekend, should I say, that I think we stick with Joffy. So that's probably what I would do based on what we did in the last game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much right.
You're not happy?
I think you're absolutely bang on in what you're saying about Bamford, to be fair, mate. For me, a half-fit Patrick Bamford starts, even if it's just for 40 minutes. We played so much better against Norwich and against Wolves when Bamford were up front. Even if it's just an half a pittance, if we can snatch a goal, maybe even two, it's worth it. And then
just give him two goals. You've been out for 9 months, mate. On and off, just give us two goals.
Bamford hat trick. But no, I'd start Bamford, even if it's just literally... Even if it's half an hour, I mean, you normally you'll probably agree with me. Half an hour, and then swap him maybe for Joffrey.
I'm with you.
I'm with you.
He's so critical to the way that those players play.
100%. Yeah. And I'd have him even if it's just. I mean, it's at the end of the day, we're gambling with our survival in the Premier League. We've literally got to take these chances, and we've got to take these risks if we want to. If we're willing to throw it all out there, get Bamford on, even if it's for half an hour. Rattle their defence a little bit. It can pull them here, there and everywhere. Let Rafinha and Harrison do their things. Even let Joffy come into the fold a bit. I'd probably drop Rodrigo to start off with, and I've got Joffe playing off Bamford, and then bring Rodrigo in once Bamford or whatever come off.
That, I think if you're doing that, you start Greenwood, don't you? Joffe's
either. I'm not really bothered, but yeah, one of them two.
It's just worth noting as well, lads. I know we're speaking about us and Burnley being in this relegation round, but Everton had two red cards in the last game. You know, the frustrations are high there. Just on Brentford quickly, I know we're lining up against a Brentford side that have won 7 of the last 10. Beating Chelsea, West Ham. They beat Chelsea 4-1, beating West Ham, one draw in there against Spurs, and they've only been beaten by Leicester and Scum in the last 10.
But to be fair, they've both been terrible other than those games. Leicester and the Scum have been awful recently, so it's really, you can't call it. You just can't call it.
No, you can't. And I think we're going to turn up, fired up, and we just need to, you know, control the aggression. Make sure we don't do anything stupid in that first sort of 10-15 minutes.
Fucking hell, yes.
fucking hell, yes.
Again.
Right then, I think if we're all happy with that, I think we've just got to do the last part of the last predictions, Gilly, if you're ready to take them.
I am indeed. And I'll even play it. Both wait for it.
Auto no better predictions.
Look at you. Fastest pick.
You know what? I'm going to come to you first, Si. Because I've only had about 3 predictions from your season.
apologies. I'm going 3-1 Leeds. Bish, bosh, bang. There we go.
I'll take that. Marty.
2-0 Leeds.
Oh, I'm loving the optimism, lads. I fucking am.
Are you going to keep it going, though, Luke?
I'm going 2-2.
Call yourself a Leeds fan.
Call yourself a fan.
Well, I'm going Leeds win. I'm going 2-1.
2-1.
2-1.
And then from a fan prediction, please.
Fan prediction. And
first, that was it?
Oh, Jay's got his in little dwarf there, little half man, half flump. 3-1.
Matt Rollinson 1-1. The fans 1-1. So I cannot now finish top because I've gone for a draw, the same as the fans.
Mark Rollinson with a 1-1.
But
1-1 to lead. It's a 1-1 to
lead. I was going to say, no, well, that's it then. If that's what we're taking, then the fans have won the league because they can't get a -5. So even stats can't overtake them from second place.
Congrats.
Well done, fans. That was a shrewd move by Mark Rollinson.
They probably have little fan zone meetings saying, right, tonight, we don't back against Leeds.
By the way, whoever wins the league has to buy everyone else a pint, so you might as well start off on me and get all these guys flicking some coin in there.
I've got them all written down, all the ones that are predicted.
We'll get together
from
and just set, we'll just fire out a Weatherspoon's table number and get a load of portion of peas and shit like that sent to
them. Some of these some of these last comments, lads, and we'll call it a night, eh?
Very good.
He can fuck off and go chew on a McPlant whilst tapping his watch.
is that a vegan option, that?
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's Thomas Frank.
Eddie Howe, Trippier, Chris Wood are all ex-Burnley. Good point. Long live Simon Johnson. Long live Bielsa. There you go. A bit of fan mail for you, Simon. Newcastle will take be that. For it. Football is not personal. I can't stand Frank, but we'll win. Everton now with a couple of suspensions. Yeah, well said, Jay. Burnley are in the bottom three. Even if they go one, the pressure will take
a toll. Sorry, I was laughing. Mark's comment from further down.
Palace will beat Everton, and Everton will lose to Arsenal. So that more suggesting that they're...
It's a great show, that, you know, I'm telling you. Great shows.
Apart from our form, it's been vintage season with meaningful games at the top and bottom on last day. Yeah, go for it. Yeah. KP and CDM protecting the back 4-4-1-4-1. Get the wingers wide. I think that's really important, isn't it? We play so much better when we've got some width because the penis formation.
We play our wingers in defence.
Yeah, but do you know what? We've got to commit the fullbacks forward because with the two centre-halves and Calvin there, we've got enough protection if they don't both overcommit.
Alioski,
we've got to get that. Yeah, those overlaps and the overloads out wide was what Bielsa was famous for. And that's what got us so much success. Yeah. We've stopped doing that and it's gone dry. Let's just do what worked.
We're almost too easy to attack, aren't we? Because we're so, you know, we're so stagnant. Mark, line up how we finished the second half against Burnley. Have you not wanted to go there for a game? Just wanted it over. Sai, have you ever not wanted to go out there for a game? Just wanted it to be finished before it started.
Is he talking to me there?
Yeah.
I think so.
Called Simon.
All right, I'll not... actually just saw him in if you want.
It was. That, do you know what? Nah, not really. Not that I can recall.
Now it's all about when you're playing for sport. It's all about winning. You want to win every game, don't you? And if you know, if you don't, you're not a fucking proper sportsman. Our young players have no fear. I honestly see us winning.
Not liking that.
Who is for Brentford the game then? Who's there? Nobody got a ticket apart from 1,700. I think we've got 1,000 away season ticket holders. So pretty much nobody's going apart from away season ticket holders and everything. But
yeah, because they've only got five fans themselves.
Yeah, I've entered a couple of competitions though today on Twitter to sit in the Brentford end. If you get 4 tickets, if you win. So that should be fun. But I'm still undecided as to whether I'm going to go down there or we're going to make a big day of it around Leeds. And
Big Lou wanted to meet up with you.
Oh, did he? Yeah, I might go down. I don't know. We must start with 2 centre forwards, please. Ooh. 2 centre forwards, please. That's a new one
this
season, isn't it?
In the penis formation that he plays, they do have the 2 up front, two just in front of 2 CDMs, don't they? So
is that for girth?
Yeah.
Cock over Llorente. That's interesting. I thought Llorente was good the other night, especially that ball he sprayed out to Gajofi. You know, that's composure, that 93rd minute of the game, 92nd minute. Could have smashed it straight over the bar.
I expected
it out to Gelder.
I think Llorente next to Cooper is our best centre back pair.
To be fair, a lot of people were shouting shoot from stands.
Yeah, there were. You could hear him. Shoot. Oh, no, don't shoot, actually. Give him to Gajofi. He turned everyone into mermaids. Jay, this time next week we will know our fate. So yeah, the show next week, next Tuesday, we'll either be sat here as a Premier League podcast or a Championship podcast, which will be interesting.
Do you know what, at the end of the month I'm off to Valencia to watch Castellón to thank Pablo for getting his promoted. By that fucking point it might have all been undone. Brilliant.
There was no point, Pablo, might as well not bother coming now.
I would not dare predict the score on this one, thank God. 8-0 Leeds.
That's what I chuckled at when you said, have I missed something?
Has anybody got anything they'd like to discuss or add before we close tonight? It's been jam-packed. We've had lots to say about everything, apart from I've not really let you lot speak.
I think we've all had a fair share tonight.
Has anyone got an autumnal bitter rant, actually, this week? Has anything fucked anybody off badly?
Oh my God.
No. I mean,
there is.
It's weird, isn't it?
There's always something that pisses me off. Life pisses me off. But I'm not gonna start. Because the majority
Otter no better.
There we go. Come on, then, get it out.
You've just fucking triggered me, haven't you? No, to be fair, most of it's just life shit that's fucking taking piss out of me at the minute.
The kids, I fucking hate them. The car.
I might as well have two missuses because of that fucking demanding.
In fact, I do have one. I do have one. Arthur can get it fucking bin. Right, so all of this shit about we're going to come and we're going to take Rafinha, we're going to sign him. We can't afford him right now. We can't even afford him with his fucking release fee, but we're going to sign him anyway. We're not going to pay the 25 million or 21 million, whatever his release fee is. We're going to pay less than that because we're Barca. Get fucked. Get it fucking bin. I'm not having any of it. You can fuck off. There you go.
Simon, what's fucked you up this week? Get it out, come on, start sharing.
Anything and everything, mate. I'm just all over the shop at the minute a little bit, to be fair. Just like Smarty, life in general, it's just rubbish.
Not getting locked in anywhere recently, though.
No.
Oh, mate, my head went, you know, honestly. I thought, do you know what? I actually finished the kids up 5 minutes early. I was cheeky. I bet the parents thinking, cheeky bastard. I finished up 5 minutes early so I could get back. I fucking packed the car up, went to go out, fucking gates locked, mate. Unbelievable. So apologies for that last week. It was last week, weren't it?
Yeah.
We've been part, yeah. I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, James, I've got one other thing. Sorry, go Luke. I've got
go
one
on,
other thing.
On.
So fucking last week. Sorry, French. It's because I'm angry.
We don't care. As long as you can say shit or bugger, it's fine.
My car broke down. So I had to phone the other half. You've got to come and pick me up. Cars. I had some message come on the display screen. All that rubbish.
Message.
Yeah. So.
So was it the Maserati or the Ferrari?
Yeah, I wish. So
he's from Birmingham, it'll have been a friggin' Otten Gat.
I've had to leave the car there overnight. Next day I've had to fucking pay for it to get towed to the garage. I only run out of diesel, then yeah. So life could be better, but I'm getting there.
Yeah, mine's pretty similar. Speaking of Jay's once got locked in a scrapyard. I'm not sure what that's got to
it's
do with
it. It's code for glove box.
I broke down yesterday and I got given a courtesy car. I just want to show you this courtesy car because it is absolutely unbelievable.
It's got CBD written by the fucking side.
No, look, this is what I'm scooching around in at the minute. One of these little things.
Wow.
Peugeot 108.
Oh, the 108. Yeah.
108. And honestly, it's the smallest car you've ever seen. I literally get in. Have you ever seen that Simpsons episode where it's like the smallest car and all them clowns just start getting that? Feel like getting bags and shoes and that. I would get changed in the back of it to go to the gym earlier because I went to the gym straight from work. So I had my gym kit in the back. And I was getting changed in the back. I had to slide the seat forward just so I could get enough room to get my shoes off and that.
You have to wind an elastic band up in the boat for it to go. Oh, was hell your leg then? Christ.
Right then, folks. I think that'll probably do us for tonight. Thank you ever so much for the comments, everybody, as ever. Thanks for joining. We will see you. Some of us might see you on Sunday after the game. As a Premier League club or a Championship club. If not, we'll see you again next Tuesday. Thanks, everyone. Cheers, Simon, for joining us. Cheers, lads. And see you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the Independent League United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OughtToKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke Aftermatch podcasts. We have 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.